Welcome. My name is Chris Gilbertson, and this is The Secrets of the Extraordinarily Successful, where I interview top experts and multimillionaires in the areas of business, marketing, and fitness to help you excel in your business as an entrepreneur. And to learn more about how to drive more traffic to your website, double your email opt-in rate, and increase sales in your business, make sure to head over to chrisgilbertson.com, that's Chris with a K, and subscribe for free multimedia marketing updates to help you explode your business and your lifestyle. So now for today's show. I'm so excited for my guest today. I actually met this gentleman at a live event. He was a trainer for the event about 2 years ago, and he is absolutely phenomenal. His name is Dr. Dennis Cummins. He started his career in the chiropractic field, and he opened his first office in Park Place Chiropractic and Wellness Center in Mount Sinai, New York. And then shortly after that, he opened his second clinic as the first corporate chiropractor for the world headquarters of a Fortune 500 company. And he has grown those businesses. He still manages those today, but he's implemented really incredible systems and processes to enable him to be able to have the free time that he so loves in his life and be able to still run those businesses. So now Dennis, how I met him, he's a lead trainer with one of the fastest growing personal development companies in the world. And that company is Peak Potentials. And he trains on success and wealth creation there, and he does it in a really fun, engaging way. He's also the author of his book, Turning Terrible into Terrific. He's also a speaker and a coach to the coaches, where he teaches high-performance speaking skills to new or professional speakers all across the world. So I'm so excited. I want to welcome Dennis. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and thanks for having me on the show, Chris. This is going to be a blast.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So I just love your story of how you got started, as a chiropractor, and then how you actually really took business skills and turned it into a solid business for yourself. So I'd love for you just to share how that started and how you got started as a chiropractor and an entrepreneur.
Well, starting as a chiropractor was sort of a default profession. I mean, I had tried several other professions at the time, and realized kind of, within a year of each one. I mean, I went through law school, working on Wall Street, painting houses, doing various other jobs, just realizing that each time this wasn't what I wanted to do forever. And then, kind of ended up in chiropractic, just introduced by family, but kind of by accident, and ended up loving it. So, the number one, I guess, lesson for the entrepreneurs is don't settle. Right. Even though I was kind of involved with other professions and doing well at them, I just realized, I don't want to do this forever. So chiropractic was great. As you had mentioned earlier, I opened up my first office in Mount Sinai, eventually moved that over to Miller Place, New York, and then opened the second office in a corporate location, becoming their first corporate chiropractor. And I loved it. It was absolutely terrific, and things were really great. Business started to get really great because I had gotten coaching on how to run a business, something I was not successful on earlier in my career. And while I loved chiropractic and really enjoyed the business and was very successful at it, I really started to realize I was working a lot of hours. I mean, I was putting in 65, 70 hours a week, which, at the time I didn't really mind because I loved it. But, then I had my children. Two kids, and I wanted to spend a little more time getting home. So I realized, if I wanted to have more time for me, if I wanted to have more kind of enjoyment in my life, that I needed to start doing something different. And that's when I really kind of came upon the principle of systemizing an office.
Which is just amazing. I love that, because I think so many entrepreneurs get stuck in that, where they finally find their passion, they get excited, and then it becomes back to a job again. So can you explain how you've done that? Because I've met a lot of chiropractors that have asked that question as well, and I just think what you've created is just phenomenal.
Yep, sure. I'd be happy to share that with you. Here's the real big thing about this. And the funny thing is, and I get comments all the time. Whenever I speak, whenever I train, people hear that I'm a chiropractor. So whether they're a chiropractor or a dentist or a medical doctor, they all come up and go, "Oh, how did you possibly do that?" And the funny thing is, it's not hard. It's really, really simple. And this is it. Basically, when I went into my office, I decided, hey, listen, I'm working 65 hours a week. I had heard about this, about systemizing something so that it works without you. And basically, this is the instruction that was given to me, and I'll share this with your listeners. You have to, as the person, as the owner of the business, you need to go on Monday morning when you go into your business, you have to have a journal with you, a notebook. And if you do anything in that business, you have to write it down. So literally, if you have to take a key and stick it in a door to open the door, you have to write, put key in, lock, turn counterclockwise, open door. And if the next thing that you do is turn to the right and go to the alarm panel on your door and punch in the code and click off, you have to write that that's what you did. Like, so anything that you actually, if you talk to somebody, if you lift up a phone, if you touch anything in your office, you have to write that down and exactly how you did it. Now, that's a pain in the butt. I mean, it was a laborious, boring, painstaking process. But you do that for a week, then the next week you double check and see if you did the same things or if you added new activities. The next step is everything that you wrote down, you put it on this spreadsheet, and then you assign somebody else to do those tasks. So if whether it's answering a phone call or whether it's how you do an exam. Now, as a doctor of chiropractic, you know, I can't have my receptionist doing exams. But right. I could have another doctor do the exams for me. But I have to let them know exactly the procedure and the protocol that I want during each and every exam. So, and once you create that list, now you kind of you're able to free yourself up. You can either, you know, kind of offsite your work or kind of have somebody else do it for you, or you have to hire another doctor to do it. So you can either replace yourself with technology or with additional brain power or additional hands in your office. And it's really worked terrific because I've done – you've heard me use this phrase, so I'll say it. I've become DNN in my office, and that DNN stands for Dennis Not Needed. If I'm needed in my office, that means I have to go in. Well, sometimes I don't want to go in. Sometimes I've got like either there's a family vacation or I want to travel because I'm doing some training. I don't want to have to go to my office for my office to work. I want it to be able to work without me. And that's the biggest, I think, the biggest sticking point for many entrepreneurs or they're, instead of entrepreneurs, I think they're more self-employed. And there's a big difference between those two words.
Right.
But many people who think they're entrepreneurs are actually self-employed. They've just given themselves a job. And unfortunately, they have terrible bosses.
Oh, I love that. And the DNN, I think that's fantastic. And I think a lot of people aspire to be able to create that. But what you just talked about was so simple. And what I really like about it is it's a great process for new entrepreneurs to use too. Even if they're not quite yet to systematize, it's so good to understand what we're doing on a daily basis and document that. And then for people that already have processes and things in place to be able to document that as well, to be able to leverage their time. So I think it's fantastic. That's an awesome, simplistic way to be able to go about doing that. And do you have any suggestions for outsourcing or things that you've done to hire, like hiring tips or maybe things that have happened through the different offices that you run?
Here's one thing that I will say, and this was shared with me, and I'm not sure of who the original author of this quote was. It may have been Jack Welch, but and don't quote me on that, but I want to give somebody credit because it's really brilliant and it didn't come from me. It's something that I always did. I just never put these words to it. But the expression is hire for attitude, train for skill. I always, whenever I'm looking to hire somebody, I hire somebody who's got a great attitude. I want somebody who's got a let's get it done kind of an attitude. I don't want somebody who's going to whine and complain and give me all the reasons why things won't work. I want somebody who's willing to figure out how to make it work. You can always train somebody like that to learn a new skill. But a lot of times people hire for skill. And what happens is they get somebody who's very skillful at what they do, but they're very stuck in their ways. They've got a very negative attitude about business or personal growth or prosperity consciousness or getting along as a team player. And that just creates headaches in your office. I'd much rather hire somebody who didn't have a complete skill set but had a terrific attitude about showing up for work than the other way around. And I find that's made a huge difference in my hiring patterns.
Yeah, that's actually really brilliant. And I have heard that before, but I'm glad you said that again, because I think especially when we get going with our businesses and there's so many moving parts, you want to find someone that has that skill set right away. But for the long term, the attitude is what makes or breaks it really in the long term for what you want to do and what you want to accomplish, and not having to retrain and retrain again with new people coming through the door. So I think that's really smart, because I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs where they have a revolving door, and unfortunately that doesn't do anything to systematize their business very well.
No, it doesn't. And very often, you can hire for attitude and skill. It's not either or.
Right.
But if you've got to pick between one or the other, go for attitude.
Right. That's brilliant. I love it. So now, what do you think, because bringing up the attitude, that's so crucial to our success in anything in life, and that's a lot of the things that you teach at Peak. What do you think is the biggest mental roadblock for entrepreneurs that holds themselves back from maybe either letting go and systematizing their business or things that are just holding them back in general to grow their business?
I think the biggest thing for entrepreneurs, and I'm going to speak from my experience, and it's been fairly common, is a need to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially most of the people who are entrepreneurs are very, very determined. They're very energetic. They're very self-motivated. And, you know, and they're often very intelligent people with great ideas. Unfortunately, they seem to think that they have a better idea than everybody else, that nobody can do it quite as well as I can. You know, and I know that I suffer from that as well. You know, I think that there are certain things that I know I do better than everybody else. Well, mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself this question. Well, if that's the case, and listen, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're right. You do it better than everybody else, and I do what I do better than everybody else. Terrific. I'll agree with you on that. However, if you insist that that's the only way it can get done, well, then you're going to work really hard for a really long time. Is it possible, just possible, that somebody else could do a really good job at it also? If you shared your skills, if you trained them with what you know. Granted, you know, if you're 100, maybe they could only possibly hope to get to a 93. But would that still serve your customers? Would that still serve your patients? And some of it is you just have to let go of that nobody's as good as me thing. And that was pretty big for me. You know, it used to be like if I hired another doctor in my office before I systemized it, and I did have associates that helped. But I always would be like, if a patient wanted the other doctor over me, I was like, oh, what? They don't want me? And it was like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? Now, when a patient says they like the other doctor over me, I go, thank God. Because now that means that they're happy with somebody else, and now I don't have to be the person that delivers their satisfaction.
Yes. Oh, that's very true. I like that. I think it's our – well, this is a question then. Do you think more people – because the ego comes into that so often. You know, it's either we're perfect at it, we can't give it up, or it's maybe fear. So do you think with people, the fear of someone else messing it up or maybe them not being able to train someone, do you think that's an integral part in that as well?
It's both of those things, I think. Well, number one, you know, you're not going to become – the top in your field or any entrepreneurial venture without a healthy amount of ego, because you've got to believe in yourself. And there is a healthy ego that goes along with that. So you have to do that. The other part is especially for new entrepreneurs that haven't proven to themselves that they can handle anything that people aren't going to take from them. And that's just a mindset issue. From my perspective, that's more of a mindset thing. My question is, if you're worried that people are going to take from you, that means you're not delivering enough service. Because if you're the best at what you do, if you deliver and create a higher quality service or product than anybody else, then nobody can take from you because people will be beating down your door to get to you. So if your biggest fear is that people are going to take business away from you, my suggestion is that you better work on your business, not protecting your mediocrity. You want to work on building your excellence.
Absolutely. I love that. Now, do you, with a lot of what you teach in Peak, and why I love it so much is because you guys move people past that perfectionist state and even that state that you're just talking about where people are too concerned about other people taking their idea, and we actually just move right into action. So can you explain a little bit about that and why that's so important for entrepreneurs?
Sure. In terms of moving forward through things, I think there's really – and this is something that I write about in my book, Turning Terrible into Terrific. I think there's really three phases to help people move through wherever they are now into whatever they want. You know, and the title of the book, Turning Terrible into Terrific, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's got to be terrible in order to change it to terrific. It could go from mediocre to mastery. It could go from good to great. It's about moving forward to the next step. In order for that to happen, though, in my opinion, you need to have three things in place. The first aspect or the first key to turning anything around, to moving forward, to getting through the blocks that we were just discussing, is number one, is gratitude. A lot of people are so upset about where they are, like they should have been further along, or they wish mm-hmm. that things had been different, or they whine and complain about where they are right now as opposed to where some other people are. And as long as you're focusing on the things that aren't working right or that negativity, what happens is energetically that's where your attention stays focused. So where mm-hmm. and you may have heard this expression, where attention goes, energy flows, results shows. You know, yeah. So wherever you're focusing on most of the time, that's where your energy is, and that's basically what's going to lead to the results that you've got. So the first step is you've got to be grateful for where you are right now. The question to ask yourself is, what's working for me right now? What am I doing well? And you know, and what I always say is, you know, people do the best they can at the time. You know, if you could have done better, well, you would have. The reason that you haven't is either because of your upbringing, your culture, your education, your influences, your training, your experience, any of those things. You are where you are because that's who you are and when you are. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be different tomorrow or the next day, but it's where you are now. So you've got to learn to accept that and be grateful for the things that you have now. So instead of looking for what's not working, and I'm not saying to ignore this, by the way, but what right. I'm saying is people should start to focus on what is working. You know, turning terrible into terrific, it doesn't mean, you know, pretending that everything's rosy. It's being able to look through all of the crap, to look through all of the things that are going wrong, to find the one thing that's going right. And if you can find that one thing and start to be grateful for that, well, that will expand, and then that will start to change things. So number one, first key, is gratitude. Find out what's going on in your business, in your life, in your relationships, in your dealings with others right now, and focus on that and focus on building from that. Number two, focus. One of the biggest problems that I find with entrepreneurs is, I'm going to call it hyper-focus. They're focused on too many things. You know, and what happens is when you focus on too many things, I use it kind of like a light bulb or a laser beam analogy. You know, if you put a block of lead on a pedestal and you shine a light bulb at it, really all you get is a shiny block of lead that's really lit up because the light beams are all going out in 360 degrees all in all directions. But if you take that same block of lead and you aim a laser beam at it, the laser beam will bore a hole right through it because all of the light beams, all of the energy waves are focused in a single wavelength, in a single focused solid beam. Well, it's the same way with our thoughts. What are you focusing on? So a lot of times, especially with entrepreneurs, there are so many great ideas. There are so many new technologies out there that they try to incorporate too many of them at once without mastering any of them. Oh, and as a consequence, their efforts are diluted. And then, not diluted, they're diluted by doing that. Efforts are diluted. And what happens is none of it really works quite as well as it should. So the question that I always ask people, and it's something I write about in my book, is what do you really want? Because there's a difference between what people want and then what they really want. You know, people want a cheeseburger. People really want a successful business. But what happens is the little things along the way tend to distract them from the things that they really, really want. So what it's really important to do is write down what are the big things that you want in your life, in your relationships, and in your businesses. And make sure that when you take an action or when you engage in some activity, that it takes you towards that goal or that result. Because what happens is many people get distracted, especially the closer they get to the achieving the results they wanted, what they really wanted, they get distracted by little things that prevent them from ever really finishing the job. So number mm-hmm. one was being grateful for what you've got. Number two is being focused on what you really want. Like, what's the real important things that you want? And the last one is real simple, action. You've got to do something. the best thoughts, all the planning in the world isn't going to get you anywhere if you don't get off your butt and do something about it. So you've got to have like some sort of a plan of action. Maybe you want to draw it out. Maybe you want to write it down. Maybe you want to create some deadlines, or you know, use that SMART goal strategy, where you know you're writing them down with specific and measurable. There's got to be some accountability, set some timelines, all of those things. But you've got to get up and do something, or nothing will change.
That's so powerful. I love it because it's so simple too. I mean, it flows and it makes sense. And the gratitude, I think, is the missing part for a lot of people to actually activate, you know, the universe helping you and also just aligning with where you want to go. I think that's so powerful. So I just love that. Thank you for sharing that. I took a ton of notes right now. Now with that though, now I want to get back to your story a little bit about how you became a trainer for Peak Potential, because this is what you do all the time on stages all across the world. So I'd love for you to share with listeners how that happened.
Well, you know, you could say it was an accident, but you know, I don't believe in accidents. I think it was
right.
Kind of the right person in the right place at the right time. Basically, I was a student of theirs. I've always been involved in personal development and personal growth. I always want to learn something. You know, I never think that I know everything, and there's always a way to improve. So, you know, I'm very grateful for where I am right now, but I always know that there is something else that I could do. There's more for me to grow and learn. So I had taken a lot of their courses, and one of the courses was a course on leadership training, and as part of it, the students led the programs. And basically what happened was at the end of one of the sessions, as part of our thing, I got up and did a presentation on the stage at the event. And it caught the notice of Harv Eker, who was the CEO, the owner of Peak Potentials. And basically, you know, after seeing me on stage, I had a kind of an effect on the audience. And afterwards, he called me over and he says, "Hey, listen, did you ever think of training for us?" To which I responded, "No," you know, because I had never really wanted to be a trainer. I wanted to be a chiropractor.
Right.
But the skills that I had learned, you know, of who I had become, my ability to communicate became, I guess, evident. And I said I didn't want to go because what your audience may not know is I have a daughter that has a very significant health challenge. It's really was the inspiration for my book. But at the time, her health was deteriorating, and I wasn't able to travel much. And I said, the reason I said no was because I knew his trainers had traveled significantly, like, you know, 4-6 weeks at a time. And I said, "Harvey," I said, I won't do that. And he said, "Well, how often could you travel?" And I told him that I could commit to 2 weekends a month. And he said, "Well, that'd work for me." And then he said, "That will work for me." And then I said, and this is something also I want to recommend to your readers in terms of success, is before you commit to something, I think keeping your word is really important, but before you commit to something, you need to know what you're committing to. You know, people always agree to stuff, and then after they find out what they actually agreed to, they back out, and they break their word, and it creates a lack of integrity, and it starts to create a distrust of others of you and you of yourself, because now you said you were going to do something, but you didn't do it. So if I give my word, I keep my word, but I will only give it after I know what I'm getting into. So when he said, you know, I said 2 weeks, and he said that would work, and then I said, "What'll it take?" Because I want to know what I'm getting into. And he said, "Well, you'll have to volunteer and, you know, be a helper at the events, you know, which means doing all the menial tasks." And he goes, "Hopefully, eventually, you'll get to be the assistant trainer. And then if things work out, you know, eventually you'll lead some parts of the seminars. And then hopefully, eventually, you'll be a lead trainer." And I said, "I could do that." So for 6 months, I worked extremely hard at it because I realized it was a passion. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I liked the environment, and I loved what I did. And it wasn't a matter of years. It was 6 months later I had led my first event. And it's been nonstop ever since. Now, you know, as much as I still love chiropractic, my true passion is teaching and speaking and training and writing. You know, I always felt as a chiropractor, you know, while I loved helping people one-on-one, like I love the fact that I've always made a difference in people's lives, but I always knew that there was something bigger. You know, and I think many people, and I hear this all the time in the rooms, and maybe it's true for you, Chris, that people say, you know, I love what I'm doing, but I know there's something else. Like, have you ever had that experience?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people have, but that was true for me. Like, I loved chiropractic, but I just knew there was something more. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Until I got on a stage. And in that instant, I knew this was what it was. Because now,
that's
instead
awesome.
Of me helping one person at a time, I help thousands of people at a time. You know, I have rooms with 2,000 or 3,000 people in them. Or, you know,
exactly.
Hundreds to thousands. And I get to just be Dennis, you know. It's not an actor. You just get the real guy who stands up and shares his experience and his lessons and his life with you, and to help inspire somebody to follow what I've done. You know, I think when people reach a certain level of success, it's always the people who are of a, like, that mediocre level of success that are worried that if other people know what I do, there won't be enough for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you get to a certain level of success, you know that I want everybody to do what I do, because there's
mm-hmm.
plenty for all of us. And the more you share, the more you help, one, the more money you're going to make, because you get paid for helping people. You get paid for solving problems. If you want to become wealthier, if you want to become richer, then help more people.
Yep.
And the other part is, it's just so rewarding. It's just such a wonderful, rewarding way to live your life. You know, I get to go, and I get letters when I come back, and people contact me. Like, you know, you called me up 2 years after you saw me. You know,
yeah.
Obviously I made some sort of an impression that kind of kept me in your mind, at least. And you know, and that makes me realize, you know, yeah, this I make a difference, and that's important
yep.
to me right now.
Absolutely. Well, and if nobody's ever been to a Peak event, they're absolutely amazing. They're life transforming, and they're just full of energy. And what you take from it is just phenomenal. I'm going to have Dennis talk a little bit on it in a minute. But you also coach speakers as well now, that you train people on how to actually speak and motivate and be able to share their messages and stories from the stage. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I do private coaching primarily, well, for Peak Potentials, I teach a program for novice speakers, people who have never been in the industry before, that have never spoken, but believe they have something to say. And
right.
just let me pause for a second, because I believe everyone has something to share. You know,
exactly.
every single person listening to us right now has some experience, has had some victories in their lives, or some challenges or failures in their lives that if other people knew about could save them a lot of problems. So one, I think it's important that they have the skills to be able to do that. You know, the number one fear of human beings is the fear of public speaking, which is interesting. The number two
yeah.
fear is death. So when you think about it, it's kind of odd. What that means is that at a funeral, most people would rather be the person in the box than the person giving the eulogy.
Oh, that's too funny.
So what I want to do is I want to kind of help people overcome that fear. And it's really, I don't think people are afraid of public speaking, because we all speak in public each and every day. People
right.
are afraid of looking foolish public speaking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's really, if you just give them some basic tools, some basic principles on how to format what they're going to say. Because it really doesn't matter how you say it. I don't teach people how to say it. I don't teach people to do it my way. What I do is I teach them, hey, these are the basic skills. This is the basic format, and this is how to do it your way. So that's what we do with novice trainers. Now, I have a private coaching practice where it's online. It's The Speaker's Trainer, or it's also called Pro Speaker Academy, where we teach people who have trained before, that have some background, or maybe they have an idea what they want to speak about. And now we talk about, how do you communicate even more effectively? How do you solidify your message? How do you create and design a course or a program? And then how do you encourage them to take action by continuing their learning process with you, which basically means increasing your sales as a speaker's business. And that's really what my passion is right now. You know, I love speaking, I love training, and I love helping people become more effective at what they do in that field. One, it helps them become more confident. Two, it helped by their confidence and their ability to communicate clearer, they make a larger difference in the world. And three,
exactly.
They're going to become wealthier. They're going to make more money doing what they love, helping other people. And it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. That's amazing. And, you know, anyone listening, no matter what skill set you have, I truly suggest taking some sort of speaking course or some sort of, like, just even at a local chamber, anything that can help you, because communication is the number one thing that helps us in everything. And with speaking, that's what it comes down to for your business. So I love that you coach on all those different levels, because it really does. It creates that ripple effect where your message inspires more people. And I just see more and more people stepping up now, which is so exciting for the world and where we're at. So I'd love for you to share also, like, what are some other tips that you have for entrepreneurs, because you have a wealth of knowledge from all your different backgrounds.
Well, you know, I keep saying this, but this is my philosophy. I like things that are simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple is usable. Complicated is interesting. Everybody's looking. Everybody always says, "Oh, it can't be that easy." Well, yeah, it can be, and it's often the easiest things that work the best, because simple is usable. And what happens is people go, well, that's too simple. Let me complicate it. I've got to do something else. So my answer to that is stop. Just stop. Just keep it simple and make it easy. So number one, don't reinvent the wheel. You know, everybody's like, well, you know what? But nobody does what I do. Bull. Everybody does what you do. There's, like, you know, 6 billion people on the planet. I guarantee
exactly.
There's probably at least like 100,000 minimal that do exactly the same thing that you do. Now, all I'm going to suggest is, now maybe they don't do it the same way. Maybe they don't have the same personality. Maybe they don't have the same advertising. There will be differences. Just like, you know, listen, we're all human beings. We're all exactly the same, and yet no two of us are alike.
Right.
Now, it's the same thing with any business. There are other businesses that do exactly what you do, but they all have their unique elements. So that's what, as an entrepreneur, that's what you have to focus on. If there's another business that does something similar to yours and they're doing better than you are, my suggestion is copy them. Do what they do, and then put your personal flair on top of it. Put your personal touch on top of it. But don't reinvent the wheel. Everybody always wants to try to do something different. And again, that has to do with that entrepreneurial mindset of, you know, the entrepreneurs tend to be the lone wolves that, again, they can do it better than anybody else. So they're going to start from scratch. That's why, and this is a personal experience too, I have never been very ultra successful at network marketing. Now, I've been in several network marketing organizations, and I've done really well at them for a little while. But after a while, I start to want to do it my way because I'm not really great at following directions. Now, listen, I will fully admit that is a dumb way to do it. But I also know my personality. So what happens is I've been in network marketing organizations. I follow the way that they design it. I follow their marketing, and I do really well at it. But then it conflicts with my internal desires. So what happens is then I start to become unhappy, and then I just let them slide. And I've just realized that there are other things that are just as lucrative but even more rewarding for me. So why do I always fight myself? So sometimes you just have to find what works for you and be willing to go through different variations or permutations of your career or your business to do what's going to create happiness. The next thing for entrepreneurs, speaking of that, is do what makes you happy. Do what brings you joy, not what brings you money. Because what brings you money may never bring you joy. It might, but often it doesn't. What brings you joy will always bring you money because of your energy, because of your enthusiasm, because your willingness to commit to it. So find what it is that you love to do. If you don't love what you're doing, if you wake up in the morning and you're not excited about it, that's probably not what you're supposed to be doing. You know, I tell people the secret to my success is that I'm recreationally inclined. Now, I used to say the secret to my success is that I'm lazy. But I'm not lazy. I'm really willing to work very, very hard. The thing is, I only want to do that for a little while. You know, I spent 3 months systemizing my office. I worked my butt off for 3 months. And now I work about 2 hours a week on Tuesdays between 10:30 and 12:30 if I'm in New York that week and if I feel like going in. So I went from working 65 to 75 hours a week to 2 hours a week. And for those listening to the call right now, two is better.
Exactly.
But now what happens is, and what happened with chiropractic is, you know, I still loved chiropractic, but I'm starting to lose my excitement in the morning. You know, it's like, it was like going to work again.
Right.
Now I travel all over the world. I'm all over Asia, all over Europe, Australia, all over North America, teaching workshops and seminars on training, on business, on marketing, on personal development, personal empowerment. And when I wake up in the morning, I am excited to go down to the room. I have like this bounce in my step on my way down there because I just love it so much. And that passion and that enthusiasm is what makes me so successful at it. And what makes it so much fun. You know, because it's still work. I mean, I still have to prep for it. I still have to practice. And, you know, even though I think I'm fairly good at what I do, I still practice all the time. I always ask for feedback. I always like watch other tapes. I always listen to other speakers to see what I could do better because I always want to, you know, and part of it is because that's just fun for me right now. I just want to be the very best speaker that when people leave a room, I want them to say, that guy was the best guy I ever heard. Because I know that they'll remember that. I know that if I get better, I will make a bigger difference. And that's what I want to, you know, it gets to the point for entrepreneurs and for wealthy people where, you know, you have enough toys, you know. I have a beautiful home. I have more cars than I can drive at one time. I've got a tremendous family. We travel. We enjoy the world. We eat at really great restaurants whenever we want to, which is all great. But at the end of the day, you know, what footprint are you leaving on this earth? Like, what difference are you making? And, you know, for me, you get to that certain stage in your life where it's like, you know what? I want to make a difference. I want to leave an impression. I want to leave a legacy here, like, you know, that I did something for other people instead of just for me. And I think that's really important, too.
Absolutely. So powerful. You just shared so much in that 10 minutes, I don't even know what to say. I just love the process that you just went through, though, as well, that I want to reiterate for people kind of, and maybe you may word this differently, but really trusting your instinct on where you're at in either your business or your job or what you're doing and listening to yourself because we are so smart and powerful in what we want to do. We just don't listen to ourselves very often. And we just keep doing the processes that I think make that mundane for us. So that was just incredible wisdom on what you talked about and stepping up to another level to help more people on a bigger level. That's so inspiring. So I'd love for you to share how listeners can find out more about you.
I'm sorry, say that again, Kit.
Oh, I'd love for you to share how people can find out more about you.
Oh, sure. Probably the best way to do that is just to go to denniscummins.com. They can find out, they can get my blog on the website there, and if they just sign their name up there, denniscummins.com, they can sign up for our newsletter, our email, and we'll get it. And listen, I promise you that you will not get spam. This is not, you know, you'll be invited to join our email. You can find out about my book, Turning Terrible into Terrific. And, you know, Turning Terrible to Terrific, can I share a quick story? Do we have time, Chris?
Absolutely. Right.
I'd just like to share this story, a quick story about the book and how the book came about and why it's so important, I think.
Right.
And I don't know, Chris, if I even shared this story with you at the time, but I'll tell it now. My daughter Lauren is now 14 years old. When Lauren was 2, she was diagnosed with a condition. The name is called neurofibromatosis, but what happens is it causes nerve tissue to overgrow. And as a result of that, she developed a fairly large brain tumor. It caused her to go blind, And eventually, despite multiple courses of chemotherapy and other any alternative and natural health therapies that we could possibly imagine, her tumor got to the point where she was vomiting and spontaneously collapsing around our home. And it got to the point where we finally had to do what we were really hoping that we would never have to, and that was going to be a brain surgery to remove this tumor. The reason we were hoping not is because it was in such a sensitive portion of her brain that after the surgery, the doctors could not guarantee what her quality of life would be like. It was absolutely our last result. So this was, you know, about 2 years ago now, about 2010, just at the end of the year. And we finally go to the hospital, and the doctors say, well, it's going to be, you know, a 6 to 8 hour surgery. And probably about 3 weeks of recovery, you know, and when she wakes up, you know, that's when we'll know how we did, and not before then. So we went to the hospital. What we were expecting would be 3 weeks and one surgery ended up, Chris, being 6 months and 20 surgeries. But I just want to share with you a story about the first 5 days. It was the first of the 20 surgeries. We're in the hospital, and if you're not familiar with hospitals, they're really not wonderful places. One, you have the stress. I have my little baby girl who was, you know, 11 years old at the time, and she's having the most unbelievable surgery I could ever imagine. Number two, we're in the intensive care ward. So, you know, you're sleeping on this hard bed. The food is terrible. Nurses come in every 10 minutes to take vital signs. There are bells and alarms because there's other children in the ward. They're all on like these multiple IV pumps, so they're all catheterized. There's multiple IVs going into their bodies. Every one of them, as soon as like any medicine runs out or gets low, there's beepings going off. So, I mean, it's just a cacophony of noise. You've got the incredible stress. It's uncomfortable. And now my wife and I had been in this ward for 5 solid days. On the fifth day, you know, my wife was really, she was like just about to break down. And so she decided that she was going to go up and stay at the Ronald McDonald House just to get a good night's sleep. It's like a facility that houses family with children in dire straits. And so I stay in the hospital one more night. And the next morning I get up to go. Another sleepless, uncomfortable night in a bed, being woken by doctors every 10 minutes again. And I decide the next morning I'm just going to go to the family room to shower. So I get there and I realize I forgot my shaving kit. So I come back to the room, and I notice that, you know, that they push the food guy, the gentleman delivering the food. They ask him to move over to the side of the hallway. I go into my room, I grab my shaving gear, and I go back out to the shower. And one of the nurses stands in front of the doors and just kind of, you know, with her arms crossed, says, you know, could you please stay here? We have to bring a patient through. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. I've been there 5 days. They bring patients through all the time. And, you know, being Mr. Doctor, I'm kind of trying to figure out why they would ask me not to be in the area. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe they were infectious and they don't want to spread infection throughout the hospital. It's a big issue. Or maybe the person was, you know, bleeding and they didn't want anybody to be traumatized by seeing that. Or maybe they were just very frantic and they were afraid for people's safety. Or it was also like a very Hasidic Jewish area. So I thought maybe there was a cultural reason and that it was a female patient. They couldn't have a male in the same area. So whatever it was, I agreed I would wait by the door. So I waited by the door, and all these things are going through my mind, like I'm Mr. Smarty Pants trying to figure out. And then they wheeled the child by, and I instantly realized that all the things that I had guessed were dead wrong, totally wrong. Judging by the size of the child, I'd say they were probably the same age as my daughter, Lauren. It was really hard to tell, though, because the child was covered with a white sheet. They had passed away during the night. And in that one instant, I said a prayer for the soul of that child and their family. And in that same instant, I thanked God for the crappy food, the hard bed, the noises, the whistles, the catheters, the IV tubes, the alarms, the doctors that bothered me every 10 minutes, and for my daughter. And I realized that no matter what goes on in your life,
You can choose to think of it as terrible, or you can choose to think about it as terrific. And that change happens in an instant. It was true in that moment for my daughter, and it's true in everything else that's ever happened in my life. You know, in business, things don't always go the way you want it to. You could either suffer in its misery or decide that, you know what, let's find the one thing that's working for us and make that better. In a relationship, relationships are not always wonderful. I've been married 20 years. There have been some difficult times. There have been some great times. But you can work through that. But the decision to do that has to happen from inside of you. And it just depends on where you're going to focus. You know, turning terrible to terrific, it's the how-to manual for turning anything around in your life. Whether, you know, and now I hope nobody has a devastating illness like I've watched my daughter go through. But you know what? In any type of business, in any type of organizational system, in any type of relationship, in any kind of interaction, there are going to be moments of decision for you where you decide this is either terrible or I'm going to make it terrific. And that those thoughts happen in an instant, and you've got to train yourself to have those thoughts. You know, so whenever I teach anything, the underlying principles that I've explained in that book are part of my teaching. It's part of who I am. It's part of what's enabled me to be happy in my life no matter what's going on around me. You know, you choose your happiness. For the people that say I can't be happy because of what's going on around me, well, that just makes you or them a victim. You can be a victim or you can be the victor. And you choose to be the victor when you choose the thoughts that you want to have. So for those of you listening right now, entrepreneurs, people in relationships, people in businesses or families, ask yourself this question. What thoughts are you choosing right now? Are you choosing to be happy? Are you choosing to find the good things in your life? Are you choosing to make today terrific? Because you've got that power. My hope for you is that you do choose that.
Wow, amazing. Thank you, Dennis, for sharing that amazing story. And your daughter's all doing well now and healthy with everything that you've gone through.
She's 14 years old now, so it's 2 years afterwards. And listen, she still has some challenges, but she is an absolute wonderful human being. She is an inspiration for me and others that meet her. And you know what? I just all I have to do is look at her and realize, you know what? My life is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. You just gave so much wealth of information. I appreciate your openness and your stories. And make sure to head over to Dennis Cummings. I'm going to put it on my website at chrisgilbertson.com as well, but it's just DennisCummins.com. And you
That's
can learn
correct.
All about Dennis, yep, and what he does and how he helps people. And Dennis, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is an absolute blast.
You're very welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for having me here. I've really enjoyed it.
Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the Dr. Dennis Cummins interview. And if you want to learn how to take your business to the next level, I highly suggest that you check out the Peak Potential Program and the Millionaire Mind Intensive. That is the event that Dennis runs himself, where I met him and where literally from that event and through Peak Potentials, it's changed the course of my business and where you can really up your income, whether it's, you know, to get to six figures for the first time or to get to seven figures in your business. You'll meet incredible relationships and people there to help you get there. And if you go over to chrisgilbertson.com, that's Chris with a K, chrisgilbertson.com, you'll be able to get information under the Dennis Cummins interview for two free tickets to the Millionaire Mind Intensive. And they're everywhere across the world. So you have no excuse not to go. You're going to get some awesome information. Literally from that weekend, it can change your whole business and your whole perspective. Because if our mindsets aren't right, it doesn't matter what we do, no matter how hard we work, no matter how many hours we put into our business, if we don't have the right mindset and we're not open to attracting the right things into our life, unfortunately, no matter what we do, it doesn't impact that. So that's where T. Harv Eker has crafted a really interactive event where it's interactive and you're not just sitting there. It's not a seminar. You're actually doing activities that are helping you change your mindset for the better for afterwards. So again, head over to chrisgilbertson.com, check that out. And again, stay tuned for more millionaire and expert interviews to help you explode your business and go out and make it a great day.